So today we're having, for this morning, we're having two kinds of initiation. First is the Harinam initiation, which we call first initiation. And then we have second initiation, which is giving the mantra. Initiation in English means beginning. Actually, it's not exactly the beginning, because according to Srila Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraddha Tata Sarasanga Tya Bhajana Kriya. In the beginning, there's faith. Faith means that we like Krishna consciousness, or we get some attraction to Krishna consciousness enough to think it's nice to think about Krishna. That's called faith. It may manifest itself by hearing the holy name or by taking some prasadam. One wants that experience again. That's called faith. And in order to find out how they cook prasadam, we go to the temple or we hear from a devotee. And they tell us how to roll chapatis and our faith increases. And then one hears about the process by which one can roll chapatis at home and offer them to Krishna so they get the same taste. So that's called Bhajana Kriya. And then one finds out that the taste is even nicer if you're initiated and you offer the prasadam. That's called taking shelter. Adau Guru Ashraya. So, Srila Rupa Goswami gives us 64 principles in the nectar of instruction and devotion, and the first one is Adau Guru Ashraya, to take shelter of a spiritual master. So therefore, the preliminary activities of Shraddha and of Sadhu Sangha, this is an introduction, but when one becomes serious about actually applying the process, that's called Bhajana Kriya. But Bhajana Kriya depends upon one factor to actually practically engage in Bhajana Kriya, that is to give up our false ego. The last thing in the world we ever wanted to give up was our false ego. No one joins the Hare Krishna movement because they want to get rid of their false ego. But that's what a beginning of devotional service is, to give up the false ego. Now, it's not as painful as it may seem, but Krishna says giving up the false ego begins with Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nishoshiti, Nakangshiti, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. That basically means to give up our hankering and our lamentation in relation to this body, and to give up and to start hankering for Krishna and lament that we don't have Krishna. If we feel after practicing Krishna consciousness for many years we still don't have Krishna, that's very good. That's the proper way of lamenting. If we thought, after many years I've been practicing Krishna consciousness and my old girlfriend still hasn't joined, that's not very good. No, we have to know how to hanker and how to lament. We have to hanker for Krishna and lament the fact that we don't have fully Krishna consciousness yet. Then we can look around, and when we see everyone else, then we can think, actually, this devotee is hankering for Krishna and they're lamenting because they don't have Krishna. Not that they're hankering to get my position and they're lamenting because they don't have it. No, everyone is actually hankering for Krishna and lamenting because they don't have it, because they don't have him. They think they're hankering for something else, but actually everyone is really hankering for Krishna. Everyone may think they're lamenting because they haven't got what they think they need or they want, but actually they're simply lamenting because they don't have Krishna. And when we can see that, then we can take, then we can atmo pamyena, so atmo pamyena sarvatra, svam pashati arjuna, sukhamvari vadukam su yogi paramomotaha. That he is an actual yogi who can see the true equality of all living entities, both in their happiness and in their distress. So that only in that way can we see everyone equally, that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant and everyone needs Krishna. And everyone is unhappy only because they don't have Krishna. So first initiation, chanting the holy name, is actually, basically speaking, learning how to chant Hare Krishna without offense by giving up our false ego that I need something other than Krishna. And giving up our false ego that somehow or another there is someone here, or there's someone in this universe who is different from I am, that has some different ultimate need than I have. That there's someone here who actually is God, or can become God, or was God. Now, to see everyone is actually in the same position that I'm in, that everyone needs Krishna, and they don't really need anything else besides Krishna. Although they may need things in this material world in order to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, without Krishna consciousness, everyone will never be happy. No one will ever be happy. Therefore, in relation with others, one has to learn how to help people become Krishna conscious. And whatever one's talent or one's resources are, to try to employ them to the best one's capacity in the mission of Krishna. So there are 10 offenses that we try to avoid when we chant Hare Krishna. And if we have the idea or the feeling, we have so many pictures here. Everyone walks in and sees the pictures. And we think, well, those are nice pictures. Which is good, but actually there are windows into the spiritual world. It's not just a picture, it's actually an experience. In other words, it's actually a spiritual pastime going on in our temple. And it's more than just a picture, it's actually a transcendental emotions and feelings are emanating from these pictures. That's one reason why the temple feels so good to be in. Although we may not feel very much, but we're actually in the spiritual world with so many pastimes going on here. The only problem is we have to join the pastime. If we keep ourselves, you know, immune to the past, with our own mental pastime going on in our head and oblivious to all the other pastimes going on here, then we'll be just like the lotus leaf which is not touched by water, or the lotus leaf which is not touched by transcendental feelings and emotions. So we have to become receptive, and one of the most important parts of it is not to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagation of the holy name of the Lord. So our first, I mean, without even thinking about it, because we're conditioned in the material world, everyone came here out of envy, except for Narada Muni and Sukadeva Goswami. And especially Sukadeva Goswami, well, Narada Muni also. But that's our first impulse, is to judge everyone. As soon as we look at anyone, we try to figure out, is he taller than me? Is he stronger than me? Is he faster than me? So many different judgments. And generally we don't think, wow, look at him. He's taller than I am. That's fantastic. Or he's stronger. We think we don't necessarily erupt with joy upon seeing others. We think, all right. Only time separates me. But actually, it is said in the literature, Vedic literature, that if you see a devotee and you're not joyful seeing the devotee, then you're a Maya. So instead of just, oh, here's a devotee, I better run because I may offend them, you know. I hate that person. I don't want to commit any more offense. One should try to do something positive. Serve the devotees. And there is, Sri Rupa Goswami gives us, in summary, six loving exchanges, which are normal between all living entities. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, offering prasad, and accepting prasad. So generally speaking, when we get together with our friends, we always reveal our mind in confidence. Don't tell, but you know, so-and-so did this. No, I can't, I believe it, you know, I saw it coming. I knew it all the time. Can you tell me more? No, I can't reveal my mind anymore. I promised I wouldn't. No, I told you all those. Okay, I'll reveal my mind. But it's in confidence. Don't tell anyone else. Okay, I promise I won't tell anyone. Well, so-and-so did this and that. I can't believe. Wait till so-and-so hears about that. I can't believe it. It's worse than I thought. Prabhu, you know, should we read Krishna book? No, I don't have time. I'm really in a hurry, you know. I don't have time for this, you know. But did you hear about... No, what happened? Okay, now that I told you, could we just read one verse of the Bible? No, come on, I don't have time. Tomorrow we'll do it. And... inquiring confidentially, how much were we actually anxious when someone sits down to give class? What realization are they going to tell me that I can apply as soon as possible in my life? I can't wait till I run out of the temple room here and start applying that instruction in my life. That's inquisitiveness. Not that at the end of the class, what was that book you read from? It was about... I know something about Krishna, I can't remember what. So that this is what we have to practice: inquisitiveness, service, appreciation, and that service of the devotees. And the second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. So as I said before many times, is that we have no problem, most of us, avoiding this offense because we don't believe in Shiva. We don't believe in Brahma. We hardly believe in Vishnu. So if they tell us that Vishnu is better than Brahma and Shiva, so what? Let it be. We accept it. But Lord Vishnu, he sings better than, you know, Mick Jagger. Oh, come on. Don't exaggerate the holy name. He could play basketball better than Wilt Chamberlain. No, come on. So we have our own set of heroes and demigods, whatever, not quite on the level of Brahma and Shiva, but more within our realm of experience and appreciation. And many times within our head, we're chanting their glories. Eva and I was, one time I was in Fiji, and there was one Indian, one Gotamath Sadhu there, and we were... just so happened we came back on the same plane. He was sitting in a different section than another devotee, myself. But he was reading the soccer scores, football scores. So his followers had full faith that he was a Mahabhagavat, but he was also appreciative of other activities. I'm sure maybe he saw everything as Krishna's pastime, but... we may not be on that level. So we have to accept that there's no one superior to Krishna, even our favorite movie star. And Krishna's flute is better than the number one song that I used to listen to over and over again. Even one time I saw a devotee had these earphones on and he was chanting. And, I thought it was really serious. He just wants to concentrate. And I said something, he had to take his earphones off. And he was playing the Beatles. Maybe some transcendental song from the Beatles, I don't know. Third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person, or to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So actually every devotee is extraordinary. Anyone who's even trying to become a devotee is extraordinary. Because ordinarily the souls in this world are ants or amoebas. So to be even a dog in this world is quite extraordinary compared to the number of ants. Like every year that I live here, that I've been here, I've spent the summer here, I've always been visited by more ants than there are people in Slovenia. Very few people come to see me, but a lot of ants come to see me. So, what to speak of ordinary living entities, to get the human form of life is so rare. But to actually try to take up the process of devotional service is even much rarer than that. But what happens when we take up the process of devotional service, knowingly or unknowingly, whether we accept it or not, we become an instrument of Krishna. We can chant the holy name unless we hear it in some kind of disciplic succession. It may be a distorted disciplic succession, like the Sahajiyas, whatever, but still the holy name is coming down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from other acharyas into this world. And anyone who chants the holy name is extraordinary. And of course, there's different degrees of being extraordinary. There's different degrees of understanding the process and following it. But anyone who accepts the process of devotional service as it really is in disciplic succession and takes an acharya, such as Srila Prabhupada, as their example, and sees other devotees also in relationship to that example, because Prabhupada is very elevated, he may not be easily understood, but there are other devotees who are more within our immediate realm of experience. And we can see, yes, they're more strict in their sadhana, they're more personal in their relationships, they're more enthusiastic in their preaching, they have more realizations about Krishna and how to become Krishna conscious than I do. So we can take them as our authorities and understand how they're being instruments for this spiritual energy. Rather than becoming envious of the little soul within the body and thinking, why is he getting so much, recognition? I should help him out and make him more humble. Go up to him and say, hey, you're not so good. You think you're big, right? Don't be so puffed up, Prabhu. I'm just trying to help you. Humility is the first, principle. I'm your friend. No, we should see, actually, the soul, all we can do is desire, but when we correctly desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then we allow Krishna, or we act as an instrument for Krishna. We don't get in Krishna's way, and he's able to manifest his spiritual energy in our activities. And as soon as we think, wow, look how nicely I'm doing, as soon as we fall into that illusion, then the curtain closes and we're back into our normal state of illusion, so-called normal state. So we should appreciate that the spiritual master, his duty is not to receive, you know, yes, I'm so great, I'm so important, I'm so, yes, bow down for your benefit. Don't offend me, you know. See what happened to him. No, the service of the spiritual master is to, first of all, realize that he's not the master. That Krishna is the master, and he's the servant of his servant, of Krishna's servant, of his spiritual master. And to teach his followers or disciples how to become the servant of the other devotees. If one is actually the servant of a bona fide spiritual master, then one should learn. Then one should actually manifest that service by becoming a better and better servant of all the other devotees appropriately. So that takes some intelligence and discrimination. So that's why we're doing so much preaching, so we can actually become simple again. If every time you look at another devotee, you're in love, you're appreciative of the nice service they're doing and how you should serve them better. They're such a nice example, etc., etc. They're following much so strictly. They're chanting so nicely. They're serving the devotees so nicely. Then you don't have to come to class anymore. Matter of fact, you should be giving the class. Because that's the goal. It's not something really complicated. That after you become self-realized, you know all the Vedas. And you know everything. You know exactly which horse is going to win which race. Everything is revealed to you. No, one becomes better. One is able to teach others how to become a better servant of the other servants. See properly who to serve. Not that this is a great, everyone's a great devotee. I see he's smoking, you know, marijuana in such a devotional way. I always wanted to smoke marijuana, but I didn't know how to do it in a devotional way. Well, it's not indiscriminate exchange of loving exchanges. It's intelligently exchanging the loving exchanges. To respect people within the mind who are chanting the holy name, and to try to cooperate with those who are trying to distribute Krishna consciousness and seriously engage in worshiping the deity. When we say worshiping the deity, it means that how can we actually make any progress if we're in kirtan and we don't care about anyone else, how they're singing. We only care about my voice. Excuse me, my dear leader of the kirtan, can you just quiet down a little bit? I can't hear my voice. That's why I came here, is to listen to myself. No, unless we have this attitude of service to this, to Krishna, the spiritual master, and unless that attitude is expanded to all the other devotees, then we'll never be able to actually experience the sweet taste of pure devotional service. Just like in this picture here, we have Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and Srimati Radharani is not telling Krishna, Krishna, you know, there's so many other people here, and it's getting a little crowded. Why don't we just go somewhere? No, everyone is adding to the bliss. Their love is adding to it, and it's just expanding and multiplying because of everyone's contribution. So we should see the spiritual master as helping us to develop love and appreciation appropriately for all the other devotees, and ultimately to appreciate how there's a potential in all living entities to become a devotee of Krishna, and to try to utilize their energies in their service too, and to try to avoid those who are envious, because they may commit more offenses if I become affected by their negative attitudes towards Krishna. If I become involved with them, they may commit more offenses, I may commit offenses, and nothing is really accomplished. So the fourth offense is the blasting the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Of course, as it says, we both read the Bible day and night. This is William Blake. You know, I read black and you read white. So we think, what's the sense of reading these books? No one can understand them. And everyone who reads them gets a different idea. So why should I get bewildered by reading them too? No, actually, it's a fact that most of the Vedic literature in the beginning, even the Bhagavad Gita, is not so much easily accessible by us because it's just too simple. It's too easy to understand. That's why it's so difficult for us. Because it's completely direct. Krishna didn't waste his time. He wanted to summarize all billion verses or so in the Vedas in 700 verses. So he's quite direct. And we read it and we think, what is this all about? You know, Krishna manifesting universes and he's destroying them again and again, and you know, he's neutral. His hands are clean. He's not. What is this in my life? What does it mean? Well, that's what we have to do. We can read these books, but unless we start thinking about what does it mean to me, how am I supposed to see through these books, it actually becomes meaningless to us if we don't get some meaning to our practical life that we can apply in our practical life, some vision of what's going on and what we can do about it. Just like there's so many problems going on, we have the wars going on, the pandemics, and so many different things, and some devotees are completely, you know, it's more or less, to a certain extent, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys, and we're the good guys because we're on the line with the good guys, and these are the bad guys because we're, you know, they're against the good guys and whatever. But actually it has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. There are no good guys in the material world. Everyone here has come here to exploit Krishna. The so-called cowboys and the Indians, the American Indians, they both came here for the same reason. So in the scriptures, it gives us a vision how to see things spiritually so that we don't get caught up and waste our time in trying to figure out, you know, what's going on in this material world. Of course, we should know what's going on in the material world. We should see it through the eyes of Krishna consciousness and therefore not becoming so much involved. We should know what to do and how to do it, but not get bewildered by all this people who are actually in ignorance. So the Vedas are many. Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses. And if we can get one vision, a little bit of vision from Bhagavad Gita, then our lives will become more spiritual. That's all. That's all Bhagavad Gita is meant for. Fifth and sixth, to give us some interpretation of the holy name, and to not have to believe that it's an imagination. Yeah, sure, we chant Hare Krishna every day, all of us. Sometimes we might get some bliss from it. Sometimes we may just get bored. Kind of like listening to, you know, what do they call that music where they go, I don't even know what the name of the music, they just repeat the same thing over and over again. What's the name of that music? What's that? What is it? No, just boom. The person just saying the same thing over. Even one of our gurus made some music for that. Maybe it's not popular anymore. Anyhow, we're chanting Hare Krishna just like a parrot. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Ram, Ram Ram Ram. Hey, wow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama. We could probably hire a parrot. Chant our rounds, record it. He's my representative. He does my chanting. So then when we hear it's an exaggeration, of course we're going to believe it's an exaggeration, that Krishna himself, the source of all material spiritual worlds, the person who's in everyone's heart, knows past, present, future, actually appears when I say Hare Krishna. Sure, right. And if that's the Supreme Person, the holy name is not different from the Supreme Person, why am I wasting my time? It's not a big, you know, experience. Luckily, Krishna is very merciful, and no one, generally speaking, will ever be in the Hare Krishna movement for a very long time unless they get some spiritual experience. But we should remember that we're an illusion, we're living in our own little dreamlands, and that we don't really know what the holy name is, what the holy names are. And we should try to go on and try to improve our care and attention while we're chanting. And not get disturbed by all these thoughts that are going through, all these different things that Maya is sending to distract us. Seventh offense, commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. That no one comes, well, most of us, we don't come to the Hare Krishna movement simply seeking love of God, Krishna prema, whatever that means. And therefore, when we get a little bit of empowerment, sometimes ideas pop, Maya, who knows exactly what we want, she tries, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, she tries to allure the devotee, when as soon as one tries to make advance in the spiritual life, Maya will try to allure the devotee by so many allurements. So as soon as we become a little bit free from our distress, then we want some comfort. As soon as we want some comfort, we want to learn how to control everything better, etc., etc. So Maya will always offer us something in exchange for our service, including sinful life. You know, take a break, Prabhu. You work so hard, you know. You know, a little material enjoyment, you know, it's not so bad, come on. Relax, Prabhu, come on. I'll send you back to Krishna, don't worry, just relax a little. So, the problem with that is that if we commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting, that maybe we'll get free from some of the reactions for a sinful activity, but we'll also not be able to chant Hare Krishna with any feeling. And therefore we'll miss out on going back to the spiritual world or being in spiritual consciousness. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities or from the Vedas as fruit of activities or karmakanda. I'm going to go quickly. I didn't realize how long I was taking. We don't have any faith. Most of us don't have any faith in the karmakanda activities because that requires expert sacrificial performance. But we want things in the material world, and Krishna may supply them to us. But most of the advancement we get through our devotional service in terms of material reciprocation is only temporary. But if we can just get a little sincerity, a little increase of our desire to become Krishna conscious, well, that's the greatest reward. So even when we're suffering, whenever Krishna sometimes takes things away from us, if it forces us to take shelter of Krishna, that's the greatest gain. And if we get so many things and we don't develop, and that we lose a feeling of dependency upon Krishna, that's the greatest loss. Ninth offense is to preach the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful. Everyone wants to tell exactly what's on their mind. That's the natural tendency. I get some realization, and we want to tell everyone. Someone walks into the door, dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. I realize that all these people in the material world are all dogs. He said, what? Where am I? You know. Or new people at the Sunday feast, you come, yeah, and our philosophy is that every time I think of sex life, I spit at the thought. And we go, where's the door? As an example of Prabhupada's Leela, as I mentioned before, Prabhupada was giving a class in Australia, And very vivid class, he was very animated, and he started to talk about four regular principles, and he said, if everyone has illicit sex, and just at that moment, some hippie walked in from the back of the auditorium, and Prabhupada pointed to him, and said, and kill him! And the hippie went, oh! He ran out. So we have to be a little sensitive in our preaching. And the last offense is to blessing, to consider the, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So we can't expect to give up all our attachments. Okay, I'm chanting. Oh, there's an attachment. I'm still attached. My God, this doesn't work. I'm committing an offense. It's an offense. My whole life is an offense. Like, as soon as I chant, I'm offensive. Oh, I give up. No, one attachment at a time. That's sufficient. We don't have to give them all up. Just half of one. Today I'm going to give up 1/8 of my attachment. Just 1/8. I'll try at least by chanting better. And as far as having complete faith, we'll never have complete faith until we get a little faith, until we try to chant a little bit more attentively and maybe a little bit more feeling. All right, Krishna and Srimati Radharani, you might be there somewhere, and maybe I should add, you know, Hare Krishna, 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 are you there? Krishna, give me a sign. A little faith. You know, I dare you to reveal yourself to me. As far as brahminical initiation, as I said many times before, if you want to go travel from here to, say, London, the easiest way is to get on an airplane. But in order to get on the airplane, you have to go to the airport. That's the easiest way of getting, probably the only way you can get on the airplane is to go to the airport. If you go up to the roof of this building, put out your finger and help, and hope the plane will stop on the way over to London, you may have to wait until they start to yoga when they have flower airplanes again. Otherwise, the best thing is to go to the airport. Similarly, if we want to come to transcendence, first we have to come to goodness. So the things like sama, dhamma, tapaso, cham, shanti, arjunam, eva, cha, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam, brahma, karma, sabhavajam. These things that, see, you know, anyhow, they're words, they're Sanskrit, you know, anyhow. Cleanliness, yeah, I wash my hands sometimes. So if the sink's not so far, even go up to the sink. I even ask people sometimes, where's the sink? Oh no, it's so far away. Tomorrow. No, cleanliness, trying to control my mind. I do it every time I chant japa. For 15 minutes or so, I try and control my mind, and then I just give up. Tomorrow I'll try again. No, throughout the day, try to control our mind. At least find out where my mind is, to be a little conscious of where my mind's going. You know, instead of my mind's going there. Ooh. Ooh. To stop and think, where's my mind? Could I put it in a better place? And my senses, what am I doing with my senses? Oh, it doesn't really matter, no one's looking. Oh, there's someone with a camera. It's being recorded, okay. Sama da tapas. Yes. I do tapasya sometimes. I come to Mangalarati and listen to this fool chanting. That's the best. That's my tapasya for the day. Shantira. Peacefulness, forgiveness. Anyhow, there are brahminical qualities, and ultimately it comes down to the same thing. Stop hankering to become Krishna, and stop lamenting you can't become Krishna, that someone else who seems to be closer to becoming Krishna than you are. And do what's necessary to actually become in Krishna's service, accept that we're Krishna's servant, give up the false ego, practice that, and then actually become serious about controlling the senses, controlling the mind, actually becoming not only focused on the sadhana when we're in the temple, but also becoming Krishna conscious wherever we are. So that means brahminical life, trying to maintain the spiritual platform, giving up hankering and lamentation, try to serve the devotees, serve the innocent, serve even the envious by avoiding them, and always under the guidance of the acharya in disciple succession, our founder acharya especially, Srila Prabhupada, and therefore always becoming connected with the super soul within our heart. It's not something abstract. The super soul is in our heart, and if we keep contact with him, then we'll be in Brahman, we'll be Brahmins. So all this cleanliness and truthfulness and austerity and astikyam, religia, is maintain our contact with the super soul. Ishvara sarabhutanam rideshe arjana tishtiti brahmanyan sarabhutani yantrudani marya. That I am directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material nature. Tam eva sharanam gacha sarabhavena bharata tat prasadam param shantim stanam prapsi shasvatam. Therefore surrender unto him in all respects, Arjuna, and this way you'll attain to the peace and the transcendental abode. So all the devotees, the spirit, initiating spiritual master, the instructing spiritual masters, are meant to help us stay in contact with the super soul in the heart, dedicate our activities to his service, and therefore become actual Brahmins, Brahman, maintain ourselves on the Brahman platform. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhaktiyo yena sevate sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. And one who remains himself on the Brahman platform by unalloyed devotional service and failing in all circumstances, then he attains Brahman, and then Krishna will become Brahmano hi pratishtaham, that Krishna is the basis of Brahman. And simultaneously, because we've taken shelter of the super soul and his representatives, therefore simultaneously we'll not only realize Brahman, but Krishna will reveal himself as Shyamasundar within our heart. Sorry to take so much time, so now the pujari can do the whole ceremony in 10 minutes. Because I know he's really expert, Ranganath is super expert. See, he only has to chant a couple of mantras and everything. So we should start the fire sacrifice now.
First we need to go.
Yeah, everyone has to.
Everyone has to sit here.
There are living.
You can sit the other side.